You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us. Thank God it is Friday. Praise God, heading into the weekend. We're tuning into God's frequency here now. This is WGOD Radio. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. You just have to go to where he speaks. That's what we're about to do momentarily. We are going to eavesdrop in on a letter that the Lord Jesus Christ dictated to what I believe is the pastor. The Greek word is angelos, translated angel, but I believe this should be messenger. He dictated seven letters to seven messengers of the seven churches. We're in the very first one, Ephesus. That's where we're going to pick it up and wrap up here today. We're going through on some days the book of Revelation. We've just started. On other days, we're going through the book of Acts. This is what we do here on WGOD. This is what we do at Island Community Church. We preach and teach through books of the New Testament. We'll be in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council, this Sunday morning at 10:30. We will be partaking of Holy Communion. We would love to see you for our service this Sunday morning at 10:30 here on the radio. The Lord's letter to the spiritual leader of the church at Ephesus. Let's pick it up right there. islandcommunitychurch.net for more on us. Our website, our statement of faith is uploaded on there. Many of these sermons are uploaded on our YouTube page, YouTube channel, same name, Island Community Church. Okay, let's get into the word. Let's hear some more words from the Lord Jesus to the spiritual leader of the church at Ephesus. Have a blessed weekend. We'll see you back here on the radio on Monday. Lord willing, we'll see you in God's house on Sunday.
Verse 2, he says, I know your works, your labor, and your patience or endurance. Greek word, hupomone, that is a spiritual gland. Hupomone is a gland that gets developed in you. It's a spiritual gland, so to speak, that you get when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let him see through you, through whatever trial you're going through. Hupomone. It's a spiritual fortitude. It's we read in, I think it's James 1:2, it says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops. This is what you get when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in due time. It's this thing that gets developed in you by trusting in God when you're going through adversity. That's what David had when David wrote, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. Do you have that kind of trust in God today? Do you have that fortitude that he had? I encourage you, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will develop this in you. So he's complimenting this. I know your works, your labor, your hupomone or hupomeno, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. All right, now reading someone else's mail shocks us. Not bearing with those who are evil, that's not what we were taught, is it? We were taught to be floor mats, right? He commends them for not tolerating this attitude. He says, I am not going to put up with evil anymore. It is an attitude that the Lord commends. He's glad they're not going to put up. Now remember, he's writing this to the pastor. He's commending the pastor for not enduring and putting up with evil anymore. And he expects the same from us. This is not just for that church. This is for all of us. Do you put up with evil at the school board meetings? When you find out that your school board masters of the universe are giving puberty stunting drugs to the children? Boy, they sure broke that trend this past year here in Florida, even in liberal Miami, where all of the clowns that were behind that kind of stuff all got ran out of town. Now it's godly folk sit on these school boards down there in Miami. He's commending them for not putting up with evil. And even though you rising up to make a difference yourself is commendable, remember, he's writing this to the church. He's writing this to the pastor. It's the pastor that needs to have a hard time with evil. It's up to the pastor to keep this church pure and faithful. It's up to the pastor to stir up the community around here because he's God's messenger. It's up to the pastor. So let's see if there's anything else he commends these people for. He says, "You have tested those who said they were apostles and are not, and you found them to be liars." So how does one do that? All right, he commended the Ephesians for testing a person who claims to be an apostle, just like people say that they are out here in the street today. How do you do that? Easy. According to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 22, an apostle had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ after he was raised up from the dead. Now take that up with him. Those are the requirements. Perhaps they asked a false apostle, what color were Jesus' eyes? Because if you were an apostle, you had to know the answer to that question. Or what color was his tunic? If you were an apostle, you had to know. The prerequisite was you knowing that. Because if you don't know the answer to those questions and you call yourself an apostle, then that makes you a false apostle. Another way, 2 Corinthians 12:12, Paul said, "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you, with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Or perhaps those in Ephesus failed the prosperity test, as I like to call it. Because this is what a true apostle looks like. An apostle would part the Indian River so that Captain Jim can't run his charter anymore. An apostle could raise the dead and frustrate the undertaker. An apostle could fix all the traffic lights in this county. Praise God. Now that truly would be a miracle around here. These are the signs of an apostle. And again, this is what a true apostle would look like. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. See, we've got the word of God. They didn't have this, what we've got. 1 Corinthians 4, 9. Paul wrote, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. We have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise." Catch the sarcasm there. "We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished. We are dishonored. To the present hour," now no more sarcasm here. "Now to the present hour, we hunger and thirst, we're poorly clothed, we're beaten and homeless. We labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until now." And this is what an apostle looked like. These 12 things. Is this you, Mr. Apostle? Last. Condemned, a public spectacle, fool, weak, dishonored, hungry, thrift store clothes, homeless. This sounds more like our food pantry saints than anyone else. Hated, persecuted. And the last one, the filth of the world. So that's how you tested one back then. Now today, there's no need to test if someone is, says an apostle, because you haven't seen Jesus Christ. How can you call yourself an apostle? You had to see him face to face after he was raised up from the dead, or end of discussion. An apostle was naked and homeless and had a bashed in head, I like to say. We haven't had the pleasure of meeting someone like that yet. Okay. Now, they were well schooled in Ephesus. 30 years earlier, the pastor or the messenger of this church was a young man named Timothy. Right after this letter, the apostle John himself lived in Ephesus and ministered to the people. Now, verse 3, and more commendation. He says, you have persevered and you have, again, there's that word, hupomeno. You have endurance and you've labored for my name's sake. And you have not become weary. So you see, the Lord recognizes all the hard work that you do for his name's sake. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus himself is watching. Your labor is not in vain. He's taking notice. And not only that, he walks among us here in this church. He is watching. Again, the Apostle Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. You know, I believe this church, our church, is already reaping right now. I believe that. We are already right now reaping the benefits of doing this his way, sitting under the authority of his word and doing what he says. Look around at these great things that are happening here at this church. Okay. What, if any, are the Lord's complaints against the Ephesian church? Verse 4 starts with the word nevertheless, meaning in spite of all the good that you're doing, I've got this against you, that you've left your first love. And their first love was what or whom? The first love was him. The whole reason for their salvation. The point and reason for everything. The whole reason why we're gathered here this morning is because of him. He is the reason for everything. That's their first love. The whole reason for them being right with God is because of Jesus and what he did on the cross. Don't you remember how it used to be when you first were saved? They lost their young, exciting love they had for their Savior. 30 years had passed since Paul started this church. Hear me now. If you're not careful, or if you are a lackadaisical or a lazy guard, if you don't guard your heart against this evil, wicked world, then the passage of time can lead you to not only leaving your first love, but your second love and your third love as well. Keeping your first love vibrant requires work. Work on your part. We observe the Lord's Supper here every month. I believe that helps if we do it right. But let's forever remember how it used to be for us BC, before Christ, and all that the Lord has done. Adrian Rogers says, if you don't love the Lord as much as you did when you first were saved, then you've backslidden. Think about that. Think about how you were. Remember. Remember all that you were so willing to get out of the boat. Remember? Remember how it was when you first were saved? You took no prisoners? Are you the same way then? I would hope better than it was then. Are you more like Jesus now than you were August 6th of 2022 and 2021? Or are you just going through the motions? This was the case here in Ephesus. Another proof, too, that those preterites I said are wrong. If the book was written in 70 AD, how could this church have gotten in this state? Paul only started the church a couple years ago. Time had passed. This wasn't a year or two after he started this church. Now, in verse 5 comes the solution. Not from a self-help book, not from a friend, not from your mother-in-law, not from your best friend, but from the Son of God. Look at the first word here of verse 5. For them, for you, for me, the question is, how can I fix this if I'm in this state? How can I fix this? I've left my first love. What am I to do? How can I fix this? Look at the first word in verse 5. What is it? Remember. Remember, therefore. That is, get along with God and remember. Boy, one of the greatest things for me when we moved to Indy Atlantic 40 minutes away was I was 40 minutes away from work. Where you're finally alone with God from running around and all this crazy 40 minutes. Oh, that was my greatest regret of moving back to Merritt Island. Was losing all that time that I had with God. Remember. Remember, therefore, from where, he says. Remember from where you've fallen. Repent and do the first works. Look at the next two words. Or else. Ah, you see, there's a threat attached to this. Remember, or else. Or else what? Or else I will come to you quickly. Remember, who's he writing this to? The pastor. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got 7 lampstands here in this church. Remember how it used to be. Repent, make it right, or else. Or else I will come to you quickly and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Meaning, you're not going to even know what hit you if you don't make this right. Turn around, pastor, and your lampstand is gone just that fast. Repent, make it right, or else. Or else that lampstand's going to be gone. No sweat to him. I'll have 6 instead of 7. Island Community Church's lampstand will be gone. You want to do church without Jesus walking among you? Right. Why waste your time? Remember. Remember, he's dictating the letter to the pastor. He's the one that's just been corrected. Church-wise, perhaps it's like this. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. This was like, let's call this First Baptist Church at Ephesus. As you walk into the foyer, there's a picture, and you see it. You know how some of these churches, they got all these pictures when you walk in? Imagine walking into Ephesus. Here's the first picture, our founder, St. Paul. Our first pastor, Timothy. Our current bishop, the apostle whom Jesus loved, the apostle John. How's that for a reputation that you had to maintain? You've had everything you needed. God's got your back. Remember from where you have fallen. Remember how it used to be. Repent. Make things right. Be on fire for the Lord. Be fervent in spirit again like you used to be. He's writing that to me. I'm going to share it with you. Because God's holding me accountable for you. And if I can't motivate you, then he's going to find someone else who can. Or take the lampstand away. No sweat off of his back. Remember all that the Lord has done for you, to you in your life. Remember how it used to be, BC? Remember your life before Jesus? This is why every week when I come in here, I say to you guys, these things, they just make me want to shout. That's why I'm so crazy. Those who been forgiven of much, the Bible says, love much. And I've been forgiven of a lot in my life, and that just makes me want to shout. You got 10 lepers, They all get healed. One returns to give glory to God. The other go their way. Jesus says, where are the other nine? Is there just one of you people that's returned to give God glory? Where are the other nine? I'm accountable for you. I want you guys to grasp and understand when he says, what shall we say to these things? Then who can be against us? God's on your side. God has delivered you from hellfire. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is good news. That is good news. I'm so blessed here at this church. Aren't we, Darren? It's unbelievable, isn't it? Amen. The people here in this church wanting to do this right, sensitive hearts willing to sit under the word of God. This is why so many people get healed in here and so many lives get changed. Build your very own stones of remembrance. That's what he had them do. We tend to forget the things that God has done for us. Build some stones of remembrance. Something for you so that you'll always remember what God has done for you in your life. And go back to it often. All right. Now he's actually going to give them one more praise before he puts his John Hancock on this. Funny, what would a John Hancock look like before John Hancock anyway? How about this? Just sign the thing, I am. That would suffice, right? Do this or else. I am. I am what? No, I am. I am. That's all you need to know. I am. Verse 6, again, one more praise. But this you have, here we go. He's going to again commend them for hating something and hating someone. He says, this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate, he says. Now, hate's a strong word. But Jesus commends them for it. For the second time, he's commending this church for hating something, hating a group of people. Now, history has it that the Nicolaitans were offshoots of one of the very first deacons of the church whose name was Nicholas. And that information comes from two of the ancient church fathers, the most important one of those being a guy named Irenaeus, who lived around 200 A.D. Now, Irenaeus wrote, and he wrote just 100 years after the book of Revelation, that the Nicolaitans were preaching compromise. That's what made Jesus mad. They were preaching compromise there. That's what these guys were doing. Blending Christianity with occult paganism, like worshiping Artemis, whose statue was right there, right down the street in Ephesus. You know, wasn't that funny? Right down the street, once again, there's another Artemis right down here at the Space Center. How funny is that? And the rocket's name after a false god, Artemis. You know, I'm thinking I had a good idea. How about if we named a rocket, let's call it the Jehovah Rocket. Can you see it now? And there's liftoff of the Jehovah Rocket. Won't ever hear that one, will you? Oh, people would be what? Offended. The Jehovah Rocket. Oh, but Artemis is fine. God bless the Artemis. That's what they're doing in Ephesus. Funny, isn't it? Or am I just a legalist? Right? On Sunday, we're going to go bless Artemis. Or on Saturday. Or Thor's day. God help us. Everything's crooked, isn't it? He hates it when Christians try to compromise in order to not be persecuted by the locals or by the government. Or compromise just to get along with someone when the compromise by itself is evil. or compromising by allowing sexual immorality into the church in order to get in and blend with society, or a compromise to get the government off your back. He says, I hate this. I hate this when the pastor compromises his church to get along with these evil people out here. Jesus hates this. He hates this so much, he's going to bring it up again to another church. Now, if these churches span the ages, like Mr. Hal Lindsey says, we're spanning thousands of years, and the message is still the same. There's even a whole church out of these seven that went down in history as the compromising church. And again, he says to them, I hate these Nicolaitans out here compromising. We'll get to that. Last verse. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes. Ah, notice this is conditional. Something is required of you. It says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Some translations say the paradise of my God. And there it is. After thousands and thousands of years, the Bible, in its very last book, once again gives us a glimpse of the tree of life. It's been gone since Genesis. In the end of chapter 3, there is an angel with a whirling sword guarding it. No one has seen it or heard from it. That's why I said the book of Revelation is all is like a train that's gone 66 different directions. And they're all coming up back together now in a line. All these cars are coming together. Here now is the tree of life back again after all this time. And our Lord gives us a promise. He says, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes this evil world, this tree is yours. This tree is yours. All you have to do is overcome. All you have to do is cross this finish line in faith. Not let this evil world take you down. Cross the finish line in faith. This tree is yours. The tree of life is your. It's yours for all of you and me and all of us who cross this finish line in faith. When they write that about us when we're gone, we finish this race. We've kept the faith. What did Paul say? Finally, there's laid up for me, right? The crown of righteousness, which the Lord has prepared for all of you that love him. To him who overcomes, all you have to do is cross this finish line. Now, this letter might have been written to someone else, but the promise is eternal to all who read, to everyone who obeys, to all of you who overcome. I will give to eat from the tree of life. And that is what this pastor's mail looked like. Okay, let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.